Never saw you pray? Hardly ever hear any religious expression coming from your mouth? What our prophet says, peace be upon him. Those who go in the behavior of the world, not of us. So really, if we see you in the image of the world, we don't have to recognize you as one of us. Though you call yourself Muslim and you took the shahada and everything. But we don't have to recognize you as Muslim. If when we look at you, we don't see the image of us, we see the image of the world. One more and last comment on the family concern. Responsibility, family responsibility, our responsibility to our families. Recently, in the news, it was given that attempts to give children parents by the state. It's a failure. And in many ways, a disgrace. There's at least a 10% greater risk of abuse for those children. When those children are under the state, the better situation, they said on the news, is when the child is at home with his natural parents. That speaks well for us, even though this world have done everything to undermine the parents' functional abilities. That speaks well for us, that even in spite of all the influences that's coming at our children to make them go away from us and lose respect for our authority, still, we have a more civilized situation for our children under our care than they have for them under the state's care. Not only these big homes where they have children, foster children, but they're talking about also the parents that they authorize to take children. Many times they pick very abusive parents. One parent recently one guardian recently in the news did some things unbelievable to the children that were in her care. You couldn't hardly believe it. They showed a picture of one child, tortured, marked scars, it's all from head to foot. The poor child died from the torture. Now they say that bad things happen in the homes of the natural parents. But the greater risk is where the children are not with the natural parent. That speaks well for you, and it's support for our belief that God did it best. He gave us children from our own loins. Now we know sometimes we can't manage them, but it is better for parents to be decent enough and healthy enough that when they are not able to care for their own children, there's someone in that family with that decency to find a suitable person to help them with the young that's left. The state shouldn't be given that kind of responsibility. No. Now, I'm not saying, oh, hey, mammy, you're always coming up and suggesting some far-fetched, ridiculous thing. How in the world can we do without these state support for orphans? No, we're not to do without it. But I'm saying it's not a desired condition. We should not be happy with this situation. We should be trying to do all we can to make those provisions by the state unnecessary instead of just putting more burden on the state. And they are not as safe parents for our children as we are. By their study. This brings us to the point of another powerful idea and productive idea in religion. Jihad. 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 What is the meaning of jihad? Okay, let's go to a paper here and see what's the meaning of jihad. And then we're going to apply it ourselves. Apply the meaning ourselves. I won't read this whole article. This is from the Minaret, a very nice Muslim magazine. The Minaret on Sirah. And this particular article, this is a Minaret, spring edition, 1988. This article is by Dr. Fakhri Uthman. The meaning of jihad. The history of Islam should be put to rest, the history of Islam should put to rest gross accusations of an Islamic war against non-Muslims. I'm reading you the headline, the caption there. But what we want to give attention to mainly is what I'm going to read now. And that is, jihad is merely a struggle against aggression and is restricted to the aggressors only. The Quran indicates clearly against whom the Muslims could fight. They are precisely those who fight against you because of faith, or your faith, because of your faith, and drive you forth from your homelands, or aid others in driving you forth. Causal relations. Do you know what convert causal means? I know a lot of you don't. Nice words that reflect nice human attributes are not popular anymore. You know what mean means. You know what ugly means. But I don't know whether you mean know what cordial means or not. Cordial means warm. Warm. Having nice feelings. Good feelings towards somebody. Cordial. Feeling relaxed with them. Wanting them to feel relaxed with you. Treating them as you would a member of your family. Or one in your close association. That's being cordial. Cordial relations based on kindness and fairness should be developed with others who are not involved in such aggression, whatever their faiths may be. That means if we have been aggressed upon or attacked by a group of Christians, we are not to turn against all Christians. We are to take it out only on those that are abusing us. But we should keep cordial relationships with those that are not with them against us. The history of Islam shows that Islamic State, however extensive it might be, had so many non-Muslims among its subjects with different beliefs and with their religious places. Some of us, we admire America, the land of democracy, for accommodating all the religious people. The people of the various religions. We say this is the land of freedom. Don't you know, as Prophet Muhammad established this religion in the land where he established it, in Arabia, that work of his, that land was the land of freedom. Official statements from him assuring the rights of Christians to continue practicing their religion as they did before the Islamic State was established. Assuring Jews to continue to practice their religion as they did before the Islamic State was established. Was issued by our Prophet, peace and blessings be on him. And that respect still exists in Saudi Arabia, in Morocco, in many other places. You'll find non-Muslims practicing their religion just as they practice their religion anywhere else. A lot of us don't know that. A lot of us perhaps don't want to know that. Because a lot of us are completely out of touch with the healthy self-interest of God's creature. The Quran never encouraged permanent conflict with any non-Muslim group. That means even those that attack you, even those that you're at war with, our religion does not encourage a continuous or prolonged conflict or hostility. but it looks for a day when peace and reconciliation can come. The Quran never encouraged permanent conflict with any non-Muslim group. On the contrary, during the time of bitter hostility and conflict, the Quran warned the Muslims against any unfair generalization. You can't say, don't sell that to him. Don't sell him anything in this store. He's a Christian. That's a generalization. We're at war with the Christians. We're not at war with this fellow. Let's meet them on the battlefield, not here in the store. Say, well, how is this a productive idea in religion? If you accept it, it's going to produce for you. Oh, yes. If you accept these ideas, they're going to produce for you. They're going to make your life better, richer, stronger, more stable, more fit in this terrible world, for the challenge of this terrible world. You know, you don't beat this world by getting up, striking out against it with no plan. No vision, no light, not even a match light. And every time you hit, you're punching yourself. See, good God, he never reached anybody and he knocked himself out. He has a quote here. I'd like to read this quote from the Holy Book. The people of the book are not all alike. Among them, there are upright people who recite God's messages throughout the night and prostrate themselves before him. This is talking about Christians and Jews and other people identified as people of the book, meaning people with legitimate scripture. I continue this reading. They believe in God and the last day and enjoin the doing of what is right and forbid the doing of what is wrong and vie with one another in doing good works. Vie with one another in doing good works. That means they have a healthy competition where they're just trying to just, this one is trying to show the other one, see, I accomplished two things today. I benefited society in two ways today. Say, brother, assalamu alaikum, what do you achieve today? Say, well, I think I have 3 pluses for me today. Well, tomorrow, brother, I'm going to have 4. Assalamu alaikum. One brother starts to go to help the sister with her heavy groceries. If another brother see him, he rushes to try to beat him to the sister. Sister, let me help you. And the first one get there is the one that have the honor of helping her with her girls. Find each other in good works. Yes. And they are among the righteous. So that tells us what righteousness is, huh? And whatever good they do, they shall never be denied the reward thereof. That's comfort to us. Because many times we're helping a sister or brother that make us feel so bad. But Allah is telling you, don't expect reward all the time from the person that you're helping. Or don't expect reward to always come from the situation that you're dealing with. But remember, Allah never fails to reward. You get it. Now, so much for the right idea of jihad. See, he went to the major focus for jihad first. That jihad is struggle against evil in the world. Jihad is struggle against the major evils in the world. But jihad does not miss any evil. It starts with the major one, and it goes all the way down to the least. And even when there is no evil, and that's the meaning that we're coming to you with now, even when there is no evil, I'm still supposed to conduct jihad. Because it is a struggle to keep myself in line with what Allah wants of me. That's a struggle. Yes. So if I do a kind thing in the privacy of my own room, a good thing. That's if it's difficult for me, that's jihad. If I'm sleepy, I work hard today, 8 hours, drove the car through the heavy traffic, 4 hours, 2 hours this morning, 2 hours this evening, and I'm very tired and worn out. My body is just pulling me down. I just can't lift myself up. And I say, oh, Allahu Akbar, Allah is more important. More important than my need for this rest. More important than my need for the life in this body. Allah is more important. And with the strength that Allah will give me for recognizing that He is more important, I begin to pull up against the gravity of that body. And I pull that old dead body up that's tired and tired in hell. And got me almost crying internal tears. Because I have to do it, you see. And I pull myself up and I manage to get to the wudu station. I don't care if it's a sink. Well, a lot of them say do it, they had to go to the bathroom. I came to sink first. I'm tired in hell. Sink, come on, give me a wudu. And I don't want nobody in the house saying, what are you doing up ablution in the sink? Go to hell. Because I'm all messed up now, and I ain't even be nice to them. I'm tired. Go to hell. I keep doing my ablution in the sink. Put my foot in the sink. Wash my toes. Allah is more important. That's right. Now, brother, please don't go back home. Please. And put your stinking toes in the sink. Out of selfish self-interest. Don't do that. See, you be thinking of the sister. Yeah, she always telling me, don't put my in that sink. Imam said, yeah, I do. What are you doing, Brother Bismi Rabbik, alhamdulillah? See, those strange fellows, they have sticks put a name together in a strange way. He starts off with assalamu alaikum. My name is assalamu alaikum. Bismi Rabbik, alhamdulillah, ameen. And just like his name is put together, that's where his mind is put together. He'll go right home and stick his foot up there in that sink and be looking for the sister, waiting for, he'll hold it there. He's through washing it. That'll be that selfish self-interest. Allah wants us to have self-interest, but not the selfish self-interest, where we act only in the interest of self and blind to the interest of others. Abusing the interest of others. That's where responsibility comes in, doesn't it? Rights and responsibility, as the judge so beautifully put it to us last night. Now, so jihad is struggle. The Arabs have a common saying, a kind of a gem of wisdom. They say, either aratta and tanja fajtahid. Either aratta and tanja fajtahid. If you want to succeed, then struggle. So we need the principle of jihad, the operation of jihad, in our life, whether there's an enemy confronting us or not. The enemy is the temptation to be lazy, to be idle, to be inactive. So we need a spirit to meet challenges every day. And what Allah says with this great revelation, when you have completed or finished one task, immediately accept another task. When you have finished with one task, immediately accept another task. Because this struggle, this interaction of the muscles of man, this is what keeps the man living and progressing. Keeps him strong and fit for the things he has to do. Well, that sister will even appreciate you more if you can stay busy at the right things. And that brother appreciates you too, sister, more if you stay busy at the right things. Yes, Allah has made wonderful creatures of us. male and female, honorable paths, to be respected. Karim, to be respected. We are to respect each other and value each other. And no matter how much the other shame themselves by their behavior, we treat them as God's creatures. We turn to them out of pity for the abuse that they're rendering, that they're inflicting upon themselves. We turn to them out of pity and we call them as our brother and sister in the religion, away from self-abuse, away from harming themselves or doing harm to others. This is the Muslim way. A beautiful religion, powerful religion, a religion for giants, a religion for strong men, strong women, healthy-minded people, sincere people, strong thinkers, pure thinkers, a religion for people ready to accept responsibility for their own self, for their families, for their neighborhoods, the house, the lawn, the garden, everything, the city, the state, the world. Yes. We are not to hear what's going on in the world that's hurting and burdening the world and not register the hurt. We are to register that hurt. And if we can do something about it in our small situation, we should make our small contribution to the improvement of the whole world for man. We should answer the cry out of our South Africa. We should answer it. If not, Allah has told this prophet, has inspired this prophet to tell us that if you cannot act against the wrong with the hand, then act against it with the mouth. If you can't act against it with your mouth, at least act against it with your heart. Your heart should be turned against it. In your heart, you should be against it. You should be at war with it in your heart if you can't with your mouth. But what did he say? The weakest form of faith, or jihad, is that battle with evil just in the heart. Just from the heart. Just from the fortification of the heart. No. Speak out against it. And hope for an opportunity to even do something physically, to make some material contribution to the weakening or to the end of that evil that's being done on this earth. So we have to work against evil. But as the speaker again said last night, charity starts at home and spread abroad. Don't you go looking for a battlefront 1,000 miles away and the roaches done taking over the house. Liquor is in the medicine cabinet, and ain't nobody been given no prescription. You know, there's another hadith. I'm going to conclude this. We're going to be on the way in a minute. There's another hadith of a certain man. He was seen approaching, and he was holding up his hands like this, crying out, "Oh Allah, oh Allah. Oh Allah, why am I not helped? Oh Allah." So the Prophet said to such and such man, say his clothing is haram. Haram means not halal, not permissible for Muslim. His behavior is haram, not permissible for Muslim. He's all loaded down with the haram, with the things not permissible for Muslim. So how expect Allah to answer him? See, we can put ourselves in situations, and then, in fact, most of the people who be trying to make Allah suspect, they are those not fit for anything anyway. Yeah, I don't catch people that's trying to do something to manage their lives in a good way, questioning Allah, questioning the perfection, the perfect concept of God. No, suggesting that he's weak or he can't help me, or maybe there ain't no God. That's what they mean. They're trying to pass on the thought to you. Maybe there ain't no God. Well, I've been suffering all my life. Ain't nobody helping me. Yes, and, well, might have to cut this, but continue that another time. But I think I can sum it up this way. We mentioned in the talk the value of trust. Trust. Now, the condition for promoting trust in society is respect, the right respect for the self-interest of every member of society. That's the condition for promoting trust. You know, say, well, how can we have a society where we really trust one another? How can we have a society where the people out of office will trust the people in office? Will trust the people they elect? We're encouraged in this country to not believe in the people we elect. Now, they may choose one and for us to put in office. But soon as they put them in office, they begin to gear the public up to suspect them. So this society seems to promote and thrive upon suspicion, not trust. And we know that the true nature of our democracy, American democracy, is trust. Trust. We have to trust. This democracy is based upon the society being allowed to build bonds of trust between every unit in the society. Me and my friend, we should be able to trust each other. Me and my wife, we should be able to trust each other. Me and my neighbor, we are supposed to be able to trust each other. Me and the policeman, we're supposed to be able to trust each other. So this isn't a true democracy. And I could go on and on and on, but you can carry it on. You see where it's going. It's going to every unit in society. There should be trust between them. This is the condition for greatest, maximum, greatest, optimum prosperity. That's the condition for it. If we want to have the most prosperous society, want to reach that ideal degree in excellence, then we have to promote trust. Trust between every unit of society. But there are the money makers, the commercial world. The commercial world will break all relationships. And they even put it on God, make you think God going to destroy all relationships. Oh, when God comes to make them do judgment, he ain't going to care nothing about mama, nothing about baby. Family going to be turned against family, child against his parent, brother against sister. Family's going to be all broken up in that war against each other. That's not the teaching of our holy book. And that's not the spirit of the Holy Bible. That's in there, but that's not a spirit. That's inconsistent with the spiritual run of the Bible. And some fiend is going to come, a monster like that. I say, you God? Well, hell, you going to prove it? I'm going to try to get something to knock your butt off the planet. I will never accept a God like that, that cares nothing about family relationship, that tell the soldier to don't have no mercy on the fruit of the womb. Take the knife and split the belly of the woman and drop her seed out, drop her unborn child on the ground and have no fear, no regrets. This is what I read in the Bible. I read it. This is what I read in the Bible. I say that's not consistent with the pure spirit of that Bible. And there are many parts of the Bible that you Christians can't stomach. Now, you don't stay Christian if you want to, but please think like me. You don't have to make the choice I made. My choice is Ellis Long. You don't have to make the choice I made, but it sure will help society if a lot of you Christians will think like me. And when I say me, I don't mean just this person. I mean people that think like me. There are a lot of people that think just as I do, Muslims and non-Muslims. Was that Christian preacher who was campaigning for the presidency? He ended so quick. He got off to such a good start. Oh, it looked like he was going to really do something. But over the months, they had time to think. They said, oh, I don't know what kind of Christian he may be. If he buy all this book, wow, we're in trouble. If the president come into that position and buy everything in the Bible, we should try to shoot him as quick as possible. Now, I stand on what I say. And I consider myself a good man, a tolerant man, a reasonable man, a man that like to embrace all people that believe in God. And I value highly all of their scriptures, the Bible, the Torah, the Gospel. I value all of them, even the Buddhist scripture. I have great respect for all of them. But I'm telling you, if somebody get into the presidency, in fact, if he's headed that way, and I think he's getting there, he's going to make it. If he believes in the whole Bible word for word, I want to kill him myself. I don't broadcast that. You know me now. You broadcast that, you give it to somebody that don't know me. And they'll think the wrong thing. Yes. So I conclude this with the note on the relationship or the tie, the linkage for trust and the right self-interest. If we will advocate the right of every person to pursue its own good interest, the condition will be brought about for us that advocate that, that accept that, for the growth of trust for every unit in our societies. Yes. If we accept that and practice that, the people won't be suspicious of the imam. The imam won't be suspicious of the people. Because we have a common bond. We have a common bond that will put us all on equal footing. We all value self-interest. And all feel entitled to it. And all feel that everyone among us have the right to it. Equal title to it. Huh? So ain't nobody going to be afraid of another one. We're going to grow. That's the idea of this democracy as it was given by its founding fathers. And that's also the idea of the best scriptures that man have on this earth. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.